Everything is better on a boat, and your vacation is no exception. This year, experience the world's most beautiful destinations aboard your own private yacht charter with The Moorings. Our fleet of modern, custom-designed yachts is just one reason we were recently voted Best Caribbean Yacht Charter Company by readers of Caribbean Journal. So when you next explore the Virgin Islands, the Bahamas, or elsewhere, don't accept anything less than The Moorings. Your vacation time is precious, so make the most of your freedom on the water. Book your perfect charter at moorings.com. Nothing less than The Moorings.
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
It's the Death Lineup on a Monday morning for us. So, breakfast with the Death Lineup for people who are watching live. We're going to talk about all of the festivities for NBA All-Star Weekend. And also, Brian and I haven't really discussed the Jimmy Butler situation yet, so we'll do that later. And then we're going to talk about a lot that happened in women's college basketball. Did you actually catch up to the big game from the weekend?
I watched UConn versus South Carolina last night, and I think that's the big one.
Yeah.
But oh, you're talking about UCLA and USC as well.
Or both of them. They're two giant games.
I want to strangle Peacock for putting in advertisements every single... Like, my favorite part about rewatching women's basketball is that they're 10-minute quarters.
Yep.
And they're quick. I can get through a game in about 35 to 40 minutes. And actually watching through it and fast-forwarding.
Yeah.
And with Peacock... having to watch the USC-UCLA game, I can't do that because there's a commercial. And if I try to skim ahead, I have to watch the commercials first if I passed a commercial.
What? So Peacock offers a couple different services. There's like the early entry service, which you have to watch with commercials. Because I don't ever see commercials on Peacock. So I wonder if it's just the difference in the account.
It must be. It came with my Xfinity.
Okay,
So they probably just gave me the base level for free.
Right. I did watch some of that game, and we'll talk about that later in our Valley segment. But before that, I do want to mention the last episode that we did with Sabrina Merchant from a podcast downloads standpoint, the best or the most downloaded show that we've done on this network. So shout out to Sabrina, and I did read her coverage this morning of the new Top 25. And I just want to mention that so that people, if you didn't hear it and you are interested in the origin story of the Valkyries in this new franchise that got a little bit of love this weekend, at least not as much as I thought, though. I thought there would be, especially because Lakeup was there, I thought there'd be more Valkyrie stuff going on. But check it out. And on YouTube, we have the full interview with Sabrina up as well. I'm also going to kind of clip some stuff because we talked a lot about like very, very early Valkyries draft stuff that I don't think is out there that I've seen in podcasts. I mean, I'm sure people are talking about some of the stuff that we did, but as far as from a podcast perspective, I'm not sure that there's a lot of that stuff out there. So all that stuff will be on YouTube, and obviously you can listen to it in the podcast feed. Subscribe if you can. We definitely appreciate it. All right, so we're going to go backwards. Usually we start with Warriors. We're going to end with Warriors. And we're going to first hit up all of the All-Star around the NBA stuff. Did you see all the Draymond commentary?
I saw you and Ben texting this morning.
We'll get to his Warriors commentary. But he killed the All-Star game. As it was going on, he was killing it.
I saw this happen. Isn't it like known that this was Steph's idea? For the format?
He mentioned on his the podcast that he did with Tim Kawakami, or the interview that he did, that he went to Adam Silver's office at NBA headquarters to talk about something else. And then Adam asked him for his input on All-Star Weekend because it was in San Francisco. And so I don't know if he came up with everything, but he definitely had some influence in what they were doing.
Yeah. I mean, I was under the impression that this was a primarily like Stephen Curry, like idea. And so to hear Draymond trash, it was like, do you know that this is like Steph's thing? But maybe it wasn't. Maybe Adam's just like, I don't want to get killed for another year. So like, tell me what you think and we're just going to do it. And I'm going to put it all on you.
So LeBron pulls out like literally at the last minute.
What the hell?
He could have, like Giannis, he could have pulled out earlier, allowed another player to get added to the whole thing. But he pulls out at the last minute. And he just, if I had a more negative, critical sort of thought process around LeBron, I would say, oh, he's just trying to like, he's like a baby because Steph's getting all of the, it's Steph's weekend and he's just being a baby and needed, you know, some sort of headlines around him. I don't think that's the case. I imagine, you know, he's an older guy and it's possible that, you know, he felt something late and was just like, yeah, it's probably not worth it. But that kind of annoyed me. Like, even the most loyal LeBron stands cannot co-sign to just the look at me aspect of that. But
they'll find a way.
I'm sure. Overall, you got to, we'll hit the All-Star Game stuff after this, but just the All-Star Game in of itself, the new format. This is the last time that they're doing it on TNT. So any critical thoughts you have about TNT and the way that they handled it with Kevin Hart and with all of that long commercial break and just the delays, it's not going to be their problem next year. It's going to NBC next year. So ultimately, the format with the tournament, with the three games that we saw, what were your thoughts on it?
So I watched the first game where it was the Kenny team versus the Chuck international team at home with audio. And then I saw like the Damian Lillard, Mr. Beast little break. And then I saw about half of the Team Shaq versus Team Candace.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to a bar and watched it with no audio. So I did miss a lot of the TNT. You know, I saw a lot of Kevin Hart when I was still home watching it. He was talking a lot. But like that segment where they were doing like the boat thing, like I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
And I could see my chat being like, oh, I see what they're going for. But I don't know. I just found myself being at a bar and being like, wow, these guys, are they going to hoop? Are they going to play? Are we going to get like basketball? Like, I think someone did the totals for on Twitter, like looked up like the totals for how long they actually played basketball in comparison to how long the event was. And they were just breaking down like how long TNT talked for. And it was just like so clear that the basketball aspect of this was like not that long. And yeah,
I'll give folks a little bit of insight about why the thing was formatted the way it was. When you have three mini games where in All-Star history, you know, 40 is like a average quarter in sometimes. In some instances, it's like a low scoring quarter in All-Star games. Mm-hmm. So I think they knew with the target score being 40, there was a big possibility that some of these games could be over quick. And so the way that you hold, like the reason why TNT wants this game is because it's going to be their highest rated thing. You know,
because they don't get the finals,
they could sell to the they could sell it to the you know, the advertisers. Oh, this is, we're going to get some good numbers here. So they want to extend that period throughout the entire 3-hour block. Like they're not interested in having a 1.5-hour All-Star game. That doesn't do any good for them because they have a 3-hour block to sell commercials. So they had to extend that thing all the way through the 3 hours.
So you're saying it's more so like how they structured the All-Star game. They should have did a higher target score if we wanted more hoops because they had to fill those empty spaces with stuff.
And you got to remember, all of the ideas have to be vetted through the NBA Players Association as well. It's not like the NBA could have been like, oh, here's what we're going to do. And the NBA Players Association is like, great. No, it's an agreement. It's a collaboration in that sense. So the players the idea of playing two games and maybe one of them being a little bit more competitive, you know, that whatever the 40 target score that was agreed upon. So there was going to be a lot of downtime, and there wasn't a natural halftime, right? We saw the Bay Area concert. You saw E40, you saw Too Short, and Vogue popped out. Who was the young woman who was rapping? That's the only one I didn't know.
I think her name's, I was at the bar, and I think someone was like, that's Saweetie.
So oh, I think, okay. Okay. I didn't know
we couldn't hear her.
I didn't know she was Bay Area. Is she Bay Area, or is she just the one national person?
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, if anybody knows who's watching on YouTube, let us know. So that whole an event more so than it was a game, and that's why the breaks were weird. So I would say if they were doing this again next year, which who knows if they do, they may just go back to the old format, like because NBC I think is going to have a say. And I've actually heard some. I've heard one of the main guys at NBC Sports, and like their entire goal next year when they get the NBA is to eventize the Sunday night game, like how they eventize Sunday night football. Now the audience won't be the same. You know, the audience for the NFL is, you know, going to be 3x the audience for the NBA on a normal Sunday night, but it sounds like they want to bring the focus back to like these games are important. So they're going to have a pregame show that's kind of like Sunday night NFL. Then maybe there's a postgame show as well, but they're going to like make this Sunday night game the focus. And I think that would be the All-Star game. Now, down the line, the NBA is going to probably have to change some of this timing because if the NFL goes to 18 games, the Super Bowl will literally be this weekend that the NBA All-Star game is, and they're going to force their way in, and the NBA will be the ones to have to move. But so I think NBC, I would not be surprised if NBC wanted to go back to the East versus West format, simply because the last time the NBA was on NBC, that's how it was. And they want to bring back some older school fans, maybe that I don't know if those people exist. I don't know if there's a people who watch the NBA on NBC 20 years ago who don't watch the NBA anymore. I can't imagine there is, but I think they may want to make it more familiar to when they had the games before. So I we'll see what happens with the format. Just from a traditional, I'm more of a traditionalist when it comes to this. I like East versus West. I also liked it when they picked their teams. I thought that was interesting. But whatever they were doing, there was no incentive for the guys to play. So this goes back to Draymond's comment about how out of 1 through 10, what did he think
0
was? He said 0. The problem is exactly what Chuck said. He said, you guys ruined it. You guys don't play hard. So it like we had to there had to be changes. And one of those changes was to trick the players into playing hard by bringing the rookie team out there because they don't want to lose to the rookies. And even splitting it up into international because, you know, they feel a certain way about the internationals. You could hear it in the broadcast when Reggie Miller said, you know, the internationals may have actually surpassed the American players, and Shaq kind of got offended with that. So like they were trying to kind of trick the players and their manhood into playing hard.
It was a manufactured.
It totally thing. Was. And I think they, you know, maybe they played 25% harder than last year. And so
well, I think that, what happened, the internationals like didn't put up a fight. Like that was if I was like, I think I told you we were listening to I know we'll probably get to this, but we went to the live pod of like
the real
Murdoch, Raja Bell and Howard Beck. And I told you, I was like, I found myself like wanting to like interject and like give takes. Like I've never been to a live podcast before, but I just wanted to like pod like that. It's like, I guess going to the NBA game and just like wanted to hoop. But they had a, I think it was Logan and Raja that were against the format. Howard Beck was willing to give it a chance. And I was on team Logan and Raja all the way leading up to this until I saw that they were trying to manufacture who was on which team. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to let this play by chance. They didn't want to let this be organic. They wanted to like construct everything and make it seem like it was by chance and organic. Like the, I think I told you, I was watching the TNT for some reason. I was able to watch TV while they were selecting the teams. And I was like looking at Shaq's roster, like, okay, LeBron, Steph, Kevin Durant, like how did he get those three? And then Chuck's was a clear like Wemby, Jokic, Giannis, like international. And then Kenny's was like everyone else. And you could see them like, just like, I think they did actually a pretty good job at making it seem like they didn't know who they were going to pick already. But it was just so clearly like the themes for each team.
Yeah.
And that this was like TNT and the NBA negotiated this they were going to do this beforehand. But yeah, it was like, it was so clear that it was going to be the Shaq versus Chuck team in the finals, the old heads versus the, you know, international players. And I think what you're saying is true. And I think that's why I wanted to give it a shot, because they manufactured that and to see if that would, because that's all we're trying to do with these All-Star games. It doesn't matter the format. East versus West doesn't matter. Picking the teams doesn't matter. All they're trying to do is get 5 minutes of competitive basketball. That's all that they're trying to do this whole time. And no, and they're not able to make it happen. Like the young players like got a little close, but then the old guys, the OGs got away. And then the international players never really got close. And that was wraps. Like that's all they're trying to, that those couple minutes in 2020 where Kyle Lowry is taking charges, where AD has to make free throws to win the game, is the most competitive All-Star I've seen in the past decade, it feels like. And that's all they're trying to replicate right there, is those few moments that we still talk about. And they have been unable to do it. And everyone's saying, this is the worst All-Star game. This is the worst All-Star game. Sure. Do you remember last year?
Last year was really bad.
Last year was awful. And so, you know, East versus West isn't the answer. This isn't the answer. It's just trying to find what we talk about every time we talk about the All-Star game. How do we incentivize the players to play? And there's probably never going to be a way to, because you can't throw away too much money. Like what type of money would get these guys, you know, like I really don't know. And Dame even said, this made me laugh. And I didn't see the actual quote. I just saw a tweet. I forgot her name from the bubble who like got into some trouble because of Jimmy Butler, Nichols or something. I think she reported.
Oh, Rachel.
Yeah. I think she reported that Dame was like, yeah, do the finals home court advantage. And I'm like, of course Dame would be okay with that. Someone who will never have to worry about that. Damian Lillard would be okay with that outcome. But
Major League Baseball did that. And they stopped doing it.
Not good.
Cause they had the same problem, right? Is it is an exhibition. And
no one's trying.
The difference in the MLB All-Star game is the whole goal of that game is every team has one representative. Mm-hmm. So that is the, if you are a fan of the Minnesota Twins, you're going to get your guy no matter what, unless they're hurt or whatever. Cause like when I was a kid and the Giants were terrible, the All-Star game was a great opportunity for me to see my one player compete against all of the other, you know, great players in the league. And that was the incentive. Today with the MLB All-Star game, I'm not sure, cause we have interleague play. And so you get to see a lot of that. And so it takes away that like incentive for the, you know, the bad teams to watch the All-Star game, but fans of the bad teams. But when I was a kid with the NBA All-Star game, the reason why it was so exciting was one, there wasn't a lot of games on television. And if there was a game on television, it was like Magic or Larry or Dr. J or I'm trying to think of some of the other teams. This was even before Michael would be always on as well. But you got like one game a week and that was it. And you couldn't turn on League Pass and find, you know, there wasn't a Twitter to show highlights. There wasn't even, you know, I would watch SportsCenter. It was really the big reason why I would watch SportsCenter when I was a kid. It's because I would get to see highlights of games that were not televised otherwise. So Magic and Isaiah would lead the games and make sure, because they're the point guards, and they would just get everyone to run so that they could get them buckets. And that was their whole strategy was, okay, you know, this main, you know, we may be old and hurting, but we're going to get you buckets on the national game. And people will get to see you succeed. And you have Magic and Isaiah just leading fast breaks, and they're just like running, and Magic is like throwing behind the back and between the legs, and it was that's what it was. But we can't even get the guys to run right now because there's no incentive. They don't need more exposure. They have it all. Everyone has a brand. You know, we were talking to our buddy Ben Cruz, who got us tickets to see the Real Ones live, and he went to the Shea event where they got the shoe. They debuted the shoe, and like, I thought this was a great moment for Shea to get the word out about his shoe. But Kevin Hart, I don't even know if you heard this part. Kevin Hart was talking about Shea's shoes. He was like, "Oh, you got the mustards on. You got the mustards on." And like, it would have been a great moment for Shea to actually have some back and forth with Kevin Hart, maybe even pull the shoe off and like show it on TV. But guess what? He doesn't need to, because like, the brand is doing all of that work for him. Like, he doesn't have to think on his feet like that to get more exposure, you know? So it's just so different from what the goal is versus what the goal is now. And I don't see unless there is a player who has a lot of influence who's like, we need to fix this. Because remember what we heard the story was last year was that they leaned heavily on Larry Bird to try and get, you know, to try and give these guys a pep talk. And Larry Bird's like, come on, you know, we gotta play hard in this game in Indiana. And then it was the worst game that we've ever seen. So even Larry Legend couldn't inspire these guys.
It doesn't matter. What everyone's kind of waiting for is the one guy who doubled down on not giving a crap about this weekend by calling out 20 minutes before the game started. Like, it's LeBron, you know, like that's why the dunk contest isn't as, you know, none of the stars want to do it because LeBron didn't want to do it. And I don't know if I'm putting all the blame on him, but that's always what I've heard is he didn't want to do it. And so now all these stars like don't want to, like, the whole embarrassed aspect of social media. And I thought that he was like a reason for that.
He is the product. And in some instances, the LeBron product to fans is bigger than the NBA. So it's almost like if you're LeBron, you're like, the All-Star game needs me. I don't need the All-Star game. And that's, you know, that's just where we're at in that. Instead, you know, Steph probably the same way, but Steph is bit different. Yeah, he's a little bit different than them. You know, one thing that they should have done, it was very clear that Wemby wanted to play.
Yeah.
Like, he was the one, like, you know, Jokic jogs during regular season games too. That's just his pace, but you could tell Jokic didn't really give a crap.
I feel like Jokic is like embarrassed in
Jokic
these games.
And last year, who were the two worst players in the All-Star game? It was Luka and Jokic.
They were hilarious though. They were funny to watch.
Like, Luka like, his speed of trotting had to have been the lowest in the history of like an actual televised basketball game.
Yeah.
But if you would have put Wemby out there and just let him go and just not take him off the court. Now, his reps may have not wanted that because they don't want him to get hurt. That dude was playing hard. He was trying to block three-pointers.
Yeah.
And you could tell some of these other guys were like, chill, man. Like, why are you playing so hard? But if you would have played him the entire game for the world, I think they would have probably, they might have even won. And then that would have pressed the OG, Shaq's OGs, to play a little bit harder. But there's no solution. Like, I saw Bill Simmons, he tweeted about the problem. He thought it was worse than last year. I don't think it was worse than last year. But he says that in his pod, I guess, which might be coming out today, he has a possible solution for it. I don't know. I don't know if there is a solution.
I mean, I wonder if anyone talks about yours. Started on the first day.
Yeah, well, yeah. Start play the All-Star game on the opening weekend, and then give them an actual break during the All-Star break, and you can still do All-Star Saturday night and the 3-point shootout and that stuff as like the event instead of have the All-Star game early in season.
What the one thing I could think of is have fans vote on the teams, like who's getting, like if it's two teams, like have fans vote for what players they want on a team, and you're going to see that they want all the who they think are the best players on this one team and then the rest of the All-Stars on another team. And it's just to try to incentivize like the competitive edge that these players hopefully inherently have. But yeah, that can go sideways.
NBA Cup champion against the All-Stars.
No, God.
Would they even care?
No.
Yeah, I don't think they would care.
It
would make the NBA Cup a little bit more interesting, though.
It's kind of like what the NBA Cup and what Unrivaled did with the one-on-one tournament is if you win, you know, your teammates get a certain amount of money that, you know, like those young players who, when the Lakers won it that one year, like Maxwell Lewis on the bench who didn't play a single minute, like walked away with like $100,000 or something like that. Like that's pretty, I'm sure that's cool for, I don't know if that like incentivizes LeBron or AD per se,
We'll talk about the one-on-one thing when we do our Valks Valley segment, but they're going to float that idea about the NBA should host a one-on-one tournament and put $1 million prize. But just like LeBron didn't want to do the dunk contest, the second the top players go, nah, we're good, then everyone else is going to say we're good because you have to be cool. And if you're not cool, then you look like a tryhard. And these 19-year-old kids don't want to look like a tryhard to their peers.
Yeah, exactly.
No one's going to do it.
Yeah.
Which is why I commend Unrivaled for doing, because they know the women want that. They know the women are underpaid by professional sports standards and WNBA, and by putting a big prize at the top, they go, yeah, maybe we're not going to worry about our egos in losing. Like Breonna Stewart loses in the very first round, like when we were talking to Sabrina, and she's like, oh, I lost. I forget who beat her. I hope she wins. Yeah, I hope she, and she goes all the way to the finals, right? And then loses to Nafisa Collier.
Nafisa's like the GOAT, man. No, she's not. But like, she is so good.
She's so good. Now, what Nafisa should have done, I didn't see the interview after she won, but what would have been awesome is if she challenged Asia Wilson right then and there. Next year, Asia, where are you at, Asia?
I think they want to do everything they can to like appease her to come and not like put her in a
challenger, man. I want to see it. Asia would know it's in the kind of the wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Everything is better on a boat, and your vacation is no exception. This year, experience the world's most beautiful destinations aboard your own private yacht charter with The Moorings. Our fleet of modern custom-designed yachts is just one reason we were recently voted Best Caribbean Yacht Charter Company by readers of Caribbean Journal. So when you next explore the Virgin Islands, the Bahamas, or elsewhere, don't accept anything less than The Moorings. Your vacation time is precious, so make the most of your freedom on the water. Book your perfect charter at moorings.com. Nothing less than The Moorings.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. And we've lowered prices. You can save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So Saturday, we went to see The Real Ones live, Logan Murdoch, Howard Beck, and Rajah Bell, which was a lot of fun. But it was, you know, it was a podcast. So, you know, you're hearing a lot of these sort of national takes. I wish it was a little bit more Warriors focused, considering we were in the Bay Area, but they are a national basketball show. It didn't have to solely lean Warriors. I imagine if they knew about Draymond's comments, they might have talked about the Warriors a little bit more. I would listen to their show on and off. I don't listen to it all the time. I told you the thing that I was most impressed by was Logan Murdoch, because hosting 3-person podcasts is really hard, because as a host, you also want to get your takes in. You want to make sure that everyone gets their takes in. You kind of have to pick, like, let's say that Ben was with us and we were talking about Jimmy Butler, like, I would have a question ready for you and I would have a question ready for Ben. But when I ask Ben the question, you may want to pop in and answer Ben's question as well, just because everyone just, you know, it's a conversation, and to host that thing is really hard. So I commended how he did that. What did you think about just, it's not a natural thing, right? They're not natural broadcasters. So it's kind of funny watching Rajah kind of look around and scratch his head, like, but he's a pro. He gets it. Howard Beck is a journalist who's been doing podcasts for a while. We got to JJ and I got to say what's up to him. I got my what up Beck in there.
Nice.
But just overall, what did you think of the conversation and how the event went?
I thought they were really entertaining. And I don't know, like, I think Logan's good. I did find, like, I'm not going to critique, I thought it was good overall, but I did feel like the Logan and Rajah chemistry is just like so, like, seamless. Like, they've been doing this forever, that I still felt like, even though Logan, you know, with this 3-person thing, like, I found him still, like, the chemistry was better with him and Rajah, which makes sense, because they've been doing this forever. I was like, are you going to bring Beck into this? Like, because isn't he, like, I don't know, I'm not too familiar with him outside of, like, the Zach Lowe appearances, but isn't he, like, a top mind in this game?
He's a pretty famous NBA writer, for sure. But he's also, you know, it's kind of like, Windhorst, right? Like, Windhorst doesn't seem like the coolest guy in the room.
Not at all.
But he will play it up a little bit, and he's not afraid to be a meme, right?
Yeah.
And that's how he's able to be on ESPN. Zach Lowe is very much the same way. Like, if you go back to the old Grantland Hour that Bill Simmons used to host on ESPN, Zach Lowe would be on there, and it was very clear he was not comfortable on television. Those were kind of like his reps. And then he goes on to ESPN, and he was able to do that show. So this is more of like, you know, if Howard wanted to be a TV guy, he would have to get more reps in. But he's, you know, he knows when to stay out of some of the Logan and Rajah conversation,
banter,
which is a little bit more, you know, inside stuff, or a little bit more hip or slangy or whatever, because they have that he doesn't. And he doesn't pop in. He doesn't try and be cool guy. He doesn't try and fit in. He just kind of knows his spot. And at some point, you know, I'm sure he'll get even more comfortable than he is. And I think that's part of the dynamic, which is you have Logan, who's a young dude, Rajah, former player. And then you bring in sort of like the reporter into that. And so that's the dynamic. So I think it's interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of like you bring up, you know, Windhorse, you bring up, you know, like, I feel like Hollinger's in that conversation, Mark Stein, McMenamin, Like, what do all these guys have
in common? You're talking about all the white guys.
They were like probably like the nerdy white guy who, you know, was very knowledgeable at the sport and
didn't play
type of thing. And so now these guys have to like take their smarts and like try to understand how to be like entertaining in this business. And I think they're all doing a great job. I'll always respect it. And then there's KOC.
So yeah, KOC. Oh my God. We heard some KOC stuff.
I feel like he tries to be in the Raja and Logan banter
because he's younger, so he probably feels like, you know, he's got the younger percentage. You know what I didn't realize? So two things about Howard Beck, who I've been reading for a long time. Howard Beck grew up in the South Bay, which I did not know. So you were born in San Jose, but we moved to Gilroy when you were little. But Howard Beck was where he grew up was like, you know, not that far from where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that. And, you know, he's now on the East Coast. Howard Beck is 56 years old. Cause I was like, oh, I wonder if we like would have crossed paths, but he's like a lot older than me, which mm-hmm. I didn't realize. Cause you know, looks like he keeps himself in good shape.
Yeah. And,
you know, looks good for his age.
Speaking of Beck from the Bay, I forgot I hadn't looked up where Saweetie was from. And she's from Santa Clara, California.
Oh, and wow.
And I didn't know that at all. And some of her relatives, MC Hammer, uncle, Gabrielle Union, cousin, Zaytoven, cousin. What a talented family.
Heck yeah. By the way, shout out to Robert Ramos, who was in the chat. Love Robert. So yeah, you know, I thought it was a lot of fun, but ultimately an event, you know, the Ringer's doing that kind of stuff. I think Bill and Rosillo might be doing a live show coming up, and like, yeah, if those guys are in your town, it's totally fun. It's a fun hang. They're really good with the audience, and whenever you get to see people just talk hoop, and you know, having a podcast that you listen to in your headphones and then see that come out in live is pretty fun.
So I wonder if they'll ever make those more like interactive, and like, I don't know if they
like
should.
More Q&A kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the answer or not. And I still had a good time, but I just wonder how those will progress.
I think it is. I think that's the way. The problem with it is vetting the questions.
Well, yeah, that's why you have a moderator, and I'm sure that's what Ben was maybe helping with when he took our cards and like making sure to give like the ones that maybe had a good answer. And Logan was looking at him on stage and like skipping through some. He was doing it on stage.
Yeah. So the way that I've actually been that moderator at live shows before. So Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez, when they have live Q&As every big show, and I've kind of been the MC of them. And what you do is you have people line up and you're like, all right, bring them up. And then I come up and I have to kind of be a moderator, think on my feet, have something funny to say. Like sometimes, like what the instinct of the, because what it is, it's like, you're asking a question to someone you listen to all the time. So it's a little bit of like a celebrity kind of moment for these people. And so they instinctively want to grab the mic and take it. And yeah. I'm holding the mic so that they speak into it so that we get the right sound.
Yeah.
And when they grab it from me, I keep it. I go, no, you know, and I'll make a joke about the pro wrestling announcer who always lets the talent take his mic away. I'm like, I'm not Tony Schiavone, brother. I'm holding the mic. Just ask your question. And so you have to like, it has to be orderly and organized. And that's what they're probably afraid of is the random, because it's at a bar, right? You're serving alcohol. So the random.
You're a little rowdy.
The random Lakers fan who shouts out, Kobe! And then just sits down, right? That's what you don't want. And maybe if Logan would probably make fun of it and it would be funny. And so but you want it to also be smart because they're.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Smart. Yeah. So that could be an issue. If you make it more interactive, you have alcohol, you have more chances for someone to like kind of just shout out stuff. And yeah, you don't want
now
that.
You could do all of that stuff before, like you could, you know, people show up early, write your question. And if they like the question, then you go, oh, do you want to ask this in person? And so you can kind of do all that stuff in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was fine the way that they did it, too. I agree with you, though. I would make the shows a little bit more interactive because it's an opportunity to ask a question in person to someone you enjoy. So,
yeah.
All right. So then we went to Chase Center. We were in Thrive City, kind of walking around. There's a brand new sports bar open called Splash. The line was about, I don't know, it looked about like 60 people long. So we decided not to wait in line. And we walked around, but it, you know, it was pretty packed. It was pretty live. I thought it, you know, looked like people were just having a great time. And that's the power of that area, the Thrive City area. The problem is that there's really nothing else out there. So it's just Thrive City and that's it. And in order to go to a different place, you kind of have to go a little out of the way. So we decided to go a little out of the way to watch the rest of the thing because tickets were too expensive. But I'm glad that we walked around Thrive City and right by the Chase Center just to see the energy. I just wanted to see what the energy was like. And it was really cool. The lights and that big screen. It's kind of majestic night as well. It was a really great night. It could have rained, you know, and it could have been that would have been a downer. But all the restaurants were open. The new sports bar was open. And it was just going to be a crazy to get in unless we had prepared a little bit differently. But so we went back to the bar. We watched the dunk contest and the 3-point shootout. We kind of watching the 3-point shootout on our phones as we were going to the bar. But what did you think about All-Star Saturday night? Because that's another event, right? That when you we talked about this with Sabrina, when you took away the Steph Curry, Caitlin Clark, Sabrina Ionescu, and Klay Thompson event, which would have been the main event, you took that away, and it was just a normal dunk contest and 3-point shootout. And I think we're just lucky that Mac McClung was there, because if he was not there, that would have been a downer of a night as well.
Yeah. Also, shout out Stephon Castle. I thought he was a very good second place.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he did a really good job. The year before that, Trey Murphy as well did a really good job. But Mac McClung, man, he's just on a different level. So
yeah,
I thought
he has he understands what it is. Like, Castle's dunks were good, but he's just a 19-year-old kid. He doesn't have that, like, presentation.
He's not an animated entertainer. Like, he's just like there to like hoop. Maybe he'll figure that stuff out later down the line, but
that's the whole key to that event, which is why
Vince Carter doing the famous
which is why it's hard, because like if you're Andre Jackson and you miss every, and these dunks are hard, it's not like he's like cherry picking easy dunk, like he's like trying to do some really hard stuff, but the second he misses a couple times, the crowd's getting restless, he's getting down,
he's nervous, doesn't want to be a meme.
When you dunk it on the seventh time, you cannot act like it was this fantastic thing as if you dunked it on the first time. So that's really hard, and I feel really bad for him and for the Bulls kid, because that Bulls kid, I always forget his last name,
Buzelis,
the throwing it underneath and between the legs into a dunk would have brought the house down. He couldn't do it. It's just like, I've seen him do it in dunk contests before, but he couldn't do it on the big stage, and that's, you know, that's really hard.
Yeah. I think he'll be fine. I think he's got one of those like personalities where that's just in the past. Andre Jackson, on the other hand, we'll see how he goes forward. Jericho Sims last year was like the perfect example of like what you don't want to be, but like he tried, and so I kind of feel bad where he does like this, like I think he like honey dipped it or something, and he was just expecting this big crowd applause, and we were all just like, what the hell, dude?
And that's why those guys don't want to do it, because they know that the crowd is the hardest judge out of anybody, and there's so much risk to their psyche in not being the best at it that it's like not worth it. Like, who wants to be embarrassed on national TV? I don't know anybody who does. Maybe so, comedians, but
yeah. So I guess to follow that event, Mac was awesome. You know, dunked over the car. We thought that was better. I thought it was better than the Blake Griffin one, and just kept doing awesome stuff. Like, it reminded me of like Zach and Aaron.
I bet you he was mad though that he did slip on the car. Like he's probably like, dang it, if I just, you know, made it clean or whatever, it would have been the best dunk of all time or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. But what we did see following the game is that Ja Morant tweets out, Mac made me want to participate next
Shaq
year.
Shaq would be awesome. But Shaq would be awesome. He Zion, we've heard that from Zion before too. Like, oh, there's been an inkling that maybe Zion Williamson wants to, and then they don't do it.
I'm just wondering if like this was again manufactured of like, because so Ja tweets that out and then he replies under his own tweet and he adds Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon. He goes, you guys want to do it? And then Zach LaVine quote tweets it and says, I guess I'll have to do it again. And then Giannis quote tweets Ja and was like, I think I want to do it too. And then I think
what
Giannis
is Giannis going to do?
I think Giannis was asked about it the next day and he goes, I was hacked. So Giannis, I don't think would be that good. He's just like a powerful dunker. He doesn't have that much like stuff to do in the air, I imagine. Like, yeah. I feel like one of the Thompson twins would be awesome at this, or both of them. But I mean, Mac, Zach, Ja, like just star power it, man. Like keep Mac in it and then have him go against these guys. Like, I think there's a chance that we could get more of a fun one next year.
If you're Mac, you're like, yes, I want to do it every single time because that makes sure that I get called up to the NBA right before the All-Star break every year.
Everyone knows my name. Like,
and
it's such
he was dunking in those Pumas. I kept calling them Antas. I was like, are these Antas? But they were Pumas. Pumas was my second guess. And so, you know, I'm assuming he gets some sort of kickback from Puma for wearing their shoes. So that's cool for him as well. He's a professional dunker. Dunk contest dunker. More yep. so than he is a professional NBA player. And that's totally. A great gimmick to have. Keep doing it. Keep yep. doing it. And, yep. you know, he'll be on that list. I think I had him after year one of his dunk contest. I think I had him in like the top 15. I didn't redo my list last year. And, you know, back-to-back winner. If I redo it before next year's dunk contest, I think I would put him like in the top 7 of all time.
I feel like he's got to be top 5, man. If you go through back to back to back, and you
the problem is, it's also about his competition, and Aaron Gordon has never won it, and people think Aaron Gordon is like one of the best ever.
Yeah,
and so then you'd have to would you put him above Aaron Gordon? I don't know. It's tight like that 10-5 is really tight. And the person who's the best to ever do it's only done it once, and that was Vince Carter. And the person, the number two, has got to be Zach LaVine because, you know, he did dunks that no one has ever seen. Jay Rich has got to be in. He's two-time winner. Jay Rich has got to be in the top 5. Like, he was amazing back when, you know, you can't even find that stuff greatly because it's not in HD, so the quality is always bad when I go look for that stuff. But anyways, so Buddy Hield was in the finals of the 3-point shootout. I was making a joke about it, but when Hero went and he put up 24, I was like, but Buddy's not gonna reach to this moment. And he didn't, but he did fairly well. He was really close. He came a very close second place. But it's just kind of like when you watch Buddy play, whenever the Warriors need a big shot and he's wide open, it feels like he just misses every time. And so I was just making that joke. I have no hard feelings about Buddy. I just wish he would play a little bit better on our team. But I was rooting for him to win. It was cool. It was a cool moment for him.
Yeah.
And then got to bring up Draymond in the All-Star weekend. Just not great. He almost loses to Kevin Hart. Or did he lose to Kevin Hart in that one shootout? I don't remember.
He did. He did.
And then the Warriors have this, that skills challenge. Moses Moody is like, this is his moment, man. Moses, people are like, who's this guy on the Warriors next to Draymond? He's actually pretty good. And then when they need Draymond to come through at the end to win the challenge, Draymond just can't shoot. He can't pass. He's rushing through stuff.
Knocks down the rack.
I was like, come on, Dre. You're a four-time world champion. You're saying the Warriors are going to win the title. You can't be butt-cheeking it in the skills challenge of all things.
Yeah, he was. I mean, the skills challenge is skip over it. Like, it sucks. I can't believe you have to do that 3 times or 2 times.
Yeah, they should just have to run through it maybe once.
Just change it up a little for the next one.
Yeah. Did you do anything else? Like, what did you see over the weekend?
For Friday, I went to the the Moscone Center where they had the NBA crossover event. Like there was a few player appearances. Everyone had like an activation booth. Pretty pointless, waste of my time. Can't believe I paid money to go into that. And then I went to where I watch all my movies at the AMC Metreon. Above, like on the fourth floor, they were doing like some Chase activation for like the Chase Cashback Court. And like LiAngelo Ball was there, and like the dude Speedy, the entertainer, I forget if his last name is Mormon or Norman. And they were just like, they had some court set up and they were just like trying to like get fans involved, and like Lethal Shooter was there and like doing competitions and stuff. They tried to just turn San Francisco into like NBA Disneyland. And I imagine that's what they do for most All-Star stuff. And I thought it was cool, but not really not for me, I guess. And so Saturday, then we hung out, and then Sunday, I got a text from my friends, and they're like, "We're going to Spark Social, where all the food trucks are." Mm-hmm. And Aisha Curry is doing this like pop-up for her coffee or something.
Does she still have that restaurant, the smoke whatever?
I'd imagine so. When I went to one of the events, like there was a food stand and it said something something by Aisha Curry along with some of the famous SF food stops. So I imagine that I think so. But I went to this Aisha Curry pop-up thing, and lo and behold, Stephen Curry was there. He had made an appearance, and it's so funny. I saw Steph on Friday too. He just like has this little van, and then it's a total police escort anytime he's going anywhere. But then we went back to Chase Center on Sunday, like afternoon, and get some food around the area. And I could hear put me on some, and it's like totally just like P-Lo performing at that splash bar. Mm-hmm. And how stupid that they just opened it and they had it closed off for a Stephen Curry private event for the majority of the time. Then you see on Steph's story on like the All the Smoke podcast, like they're just all in there like having this awesome time with like these performers, and like we're just like, I thought this was open to the public. Like, why
was it for Gentleman's Cut?
He had that thing to himself for the majority of Sunday, and we couldn't go in. And then I see on Instagram like all like P-Lo.
They kind of named it after him and Clay. Clay should have been hanging out there too.
I know. What a bummer.
All right, last question. Then we'll talk some WNBA or some women's basketball. Robert Ramos had this question about Steph talking about the nostalgia of Oracle, and he thought they should have a regular season game at Oracle every year.
Everyone's gonna say yes except for Joe Lacob.
Yeah, Joe Lacob says no. I think they should have a preseason game there, though. Like an important preseason game against the Lakers or the Kings.
Totally.
The Kings may not be that important anymore, but
okay. Spurs.
Whatever. I don't think they played the Spurs in preseason, but they usually play like the Cali teams from what I remember. Mm. So Lakers, whatever. Yeah, I think they should do one at Oracle. It'd be so fun. I don't think Joe's going to give up one gate of a regular season game. There's no way.
I think it's preseason smart at the very least.
All right, let's talk a little bit about some women's hoops. Valks Valley. Okay. We talked to Sabrina last week. Was there anything from her conversation about the Valkyries draft possibilities that caught your attention, or was it kind of in line with your thought process just going back to that interview we did last weekend?
I listened to her a lot, like on podcasts and stuff, so I wouldn't say I was necessarily surprised or like got any new information, just because I listen to that podcast all the time and I read her stuff. So I will say, though, like after that conversation, I felt a little like less confident about the Iria Fenn pick,
mm-hmm.
like the Valkyries selecting her at number 5. And I'm just going to continue to keep an eye on her game. And like just because I just feel like, I don't know, I'm not as entirely sure about her path as the trajectory of this like superstar. I really like Dominique Malanga. That's what I'll continue to say I think it's awesome if we selected her at 5. Also, I don't know if you got to see the UConn versus USC game. I really hope AZ Foot is in a Valkyries jersey if she is, you know, declares this year or the following year, like I imagine she's going to be the following year, but she was going.
What did she have, like 34 or something?
Something crazy like that. And like, she, I feel like hers, she's kind of like Clay with like, she's got like the perfect shooting form. It looks like picture perfect.
How tall is she?
I think she's 6 foot or 5'11.
Mm. So is she, but she's a shooting guard. She's not a point guard, right?
Yeah. She's like a shooting guard. She can play make, she could do some stuff, but, like she's able to create the advantage if she gets by someone, but then the next step is, you know, floater or kick out. And she's not as much, I feel like she's not as much of like a in traffic finisher, but she could still, she's good at everything. Mm-hmm. So I do hope that like a Dominique Malonga this year and like a AZ Fudd, depending on where we draft next year, would be pretty cool, especially the AZ Fudd Steph and Curry ties. Hopefully we get to talk to Sabrina either before the draft or right after the draft again. But I guess we'll see what happens with Paige, right? I guess that was something I was like, okay, so this is, the noise is real.
That was the thing that stood out to me the most, I think.
Yeah. Was like Paige casually stuff. Like, yeah, she just doesn't want to go to Texas. I get it. I get it. I understand.
Because if you're Lacob, are you, because in Paige has a deadline, right? Like she's going to have to say that she wants to be in the draft at some point or not. So if you're Joe, do you risk her just saying no this year, or do you try and get that number one pick now and like actively try and trade for it now? And then hoping that then Paige goes, yeah, I'm going to the NBA, WNBA. So that's an interesting one.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see if Ohemah is up to that. Also, one thing I did notice, not necessarily from her pod, is that this weekend, the Valkyries had some stuff they were doing within the All-Star weekend, and they promoted on their page. They promoted Kate Martin, Tiffany Hayes, Monique Billings briefly, and then Kayla Thornton was kind of the big one because she played in the celebrity game. And I think that my thought process has always been like, you can get a first round pick for Kayla Thornton. Like, you could still trade her and maybe get a first. The way they're promoting her, I don't think they're going to trade her, which is fine. She's awesome. She's an awesome player. I just thought that we can get more draft capital for a talent as good as her, but it makes sense to want to keep her.
You know, you said about Kiki, I would still take her. And a lot of it is the...
Yeah, you're from a marketing, though. Like, you're
a marketing standpoint. But it's also because she's a senior. You can plug and play her. You know what you're going to get. You have to have, you're going to have to create offense through her in a way. Probably, you know, if you have a dominant point guard kind of situation, then maybe like we're watching at USC, she's not completely... engaged in the way that she was in Stanford, but she would be an absolute fan favorite, and she's got the local ties. We'll see Tara Vanderveer around the games. Like, there's a lot of goodness with her. Now, if all of a sudden she keeps falling, and maybe her
does the Cam Whitmore effect.
Yeah, then maybe you draft someone else and then try and trade up and get her. It's just so weird because, you know, so when we're talking to Sabrina about her, we were under the assumption after last season that she could be the number two pick. And it wasn't until Olivia Miles had the great season that she jumped over Kiki. And then we're like, okay, well, she's the number three. And then all of a sudden now she's going to be available to the Valkyries. Like, either there's something going wrong that we don't know about, or players are playing better than her. I think it's just the Juju piece, because playing with Juju, I'm sure it's great for her from a winning standpoint, but maybe not for her personal statistical standpoint.
Yeah. And I think what we see in the WNBA more so than the NBA is that the team picking at number three is the Chicago Sky, who have their front court set with Angel Reese and Camilla Cardoso. So it doesn't necessarily make sense to take Aria Fenn, even if she's best player available. And it sounds like in the NBA, there's more best player available picks because you have the G League and you have more roster spots and you have the ability to just stash this player. And the WNBA, every roster spot matters. So you always see like first round picks from the year before get cut from a team in their second year. Like, how crazy would that be if like Pods just casually was not on the team in the second year? I know a lot of people would be happy about it, but
or Pods.
But yeah, so I think with Kiki is that again, I said it on the pod, is that when she was on Stanford, I saw this decisiveness of her just being like, okay, mid-range jumper. Okay, no. Okay, taking it to the rim. Okay, no. Okay, there's just like these ways that she was able to consistently score and like had her spots that I'm just not seeing as much at USC. And I know there could be some like, where are they put? Are they putting her in her spots to succeed? That might not, you know, be the offense that they run, and that there's a chance for that. I think there are good things from it though, because I think she's learning how to be more of the low post player where she wasn't that in Stanford, and also her rebounding has been awesome, which I don't think she was doing as, because you had Cam Bring on Stanford, but she's always kind of played behind this really great shot blocker that I wonder about her on the defensive end. Cause in Stanford, Cam Brink was behind her, right? This awesome mm-hmm. shot blocker. And USC, Rhea Marshall's behind her, kind of similar, very good shot blocker. So I do wonder about Kiki from a defensive perspective, just always having this like top defender, but like she's always had Rudy Gobert behind her whole career. Right. And so the last critique I have, and again, I will continue to say this, I'm more critical on her because I've seen so much of her, because I like her so much, because I like watching her as a player. She's my favorite mm-hmm. college player. So it's like natural. I'm going to have like more criticism. But when she gets a rebound and she's like the one who needs to like maybe take it up the floor, I get very scared about her handle mm-hmm. and about her passing and making the right call. I've seen so many her get the rebound, dribble it up, like looking a little shaky, and then make a pass that gets intercepted for a layup going the other way. So again, super more critical of her than others just because I like her as a player a lot and I watch her a lot. I would still be okay if we drafted her. I would buy the jersey right away. Mm-hmm. I'm a little like, I feel like betrayed as a basketball analyst putting all this stock in Wiseman and it didn't go through, right? So mm-hmm. I just want to be, I'm like covering my bases this time around and just being like, okay, I'm seeing something that's a little iffy right now. Should I let that take more space in my mind or should I let it slide? And of course, I'm not a decision maker.
She's gonna have some big opportunities in the tournament. She came up big against UCLA, USC. This was the game that Sabrina was talking about going to, even though it was raining, she was gonna get there. USC and UCLA. I got to watch bits and pieces of it on Peacock, so I kind of saw the end where USC pulled away. Mm-hmm. Juju was amazing. Kiki got cleaned up a little bit with some of those opportunities because UCLA just could not, they could not late in the game. They couldn't really do anything offensively. But yeah, USC is going to be there. They are going to be, I don't know where they're going to advance in the tournament, but
if they don't get past where they did last year, I think they were Final Four last year. No, yeah, they're Elite Eight. They're Elite Eight last year.
They're going to be in the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, unless there's a crazy upset. So Kiki's going to have some opportunities like she did last year. Because last year, the tournament was really her coming out party. Cam Brink keeps fouling out, and all of a sudden, Everything goes through Kiki. So that was fun. And then it was actually interesting because we got to see UCLA in person. Now, Lauren Betts didn't play, but she did not have a great game against USC. Kiki Rice is... I wanted to ask Sabrina about Kiki Rice's actual draft prospects or just her prospect level, because she doesn't do anything great except control the game.
Yes.
Like that, like when you watch her, she can shoot. She can drive. She's not super quick. She can't jump out of the gym. She's just under control and she manages the game. And she's an organizer and she puts everyone in the spot. So she's a pure point guard to me.
Yeah.
But you know, they've lost one game all season and it was to their rival.
And I think they dropped down to number 3 in the polls that came out today, which is weird because they've lost one game. Notre Dame is number 1 now. They've lost 2 games. Texas is number 2. I believe they've lost 2 or 3 games as well.
And Texas also beat South LSU. Carolina, right? Oh, it was LSU.
They did beat South Carolina, and now they've beaten LSU.
Yeah, yeah. So and then just yesterday, UConn beat the brakes off of South Carolina. So South Carolina struggling, though.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to tournament time, you know they're going to be a tough out, maybe the toughest out, just because
I feel like they need to find their best player, and I think that's what they're missing that they've had in years past with Camilla as their best player, with Aaliyah Boston as their best player. Like, I don't know who their best player is right now, and I feel like you could ask 10 different people and you get 10 different answers. And that they have so many good players. They get all the top recruits, but I think they need someone to ascend into the best player.
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, we already talked about the Unrivaled one-on-one tournament, so we don't really have to talk too much more about that. But, you know, from this is sort of the all-star game in a nutshell, which is Unrivaled is just an event. It is a television event more than it is a basketball game in a sense, which is why I like it. And I didn't actually get to see the semifinals and the finals of the one-on-one. It's on my DVR, but I already know what happened, so I'm probably not going to go back. But I thought they had a very subtle sort of like, they kind of punked out Saturday night, I thought, just by doing this one-on-one tournament. Not that many people watched it, of course. Way more people are going to watch the NBA All-Star Saturday night. But All-Star Saturday night, they're struggling to come up with these interesting things, and their big event just doesn't happen. And so it's like, and Unrivaled is like, oh, we're just going to have this one-on-one tournament. That's really cool. And it's we're going to show you how it's done and how you're never going to do it. But I do think the WNBA could learn some things from this Unrivaled event, and they can, like, their All-Star weekend doesn't have to mirror the NBA All-Star weekend. Of course, they don't have a dunk contest, but like, they can do things outside of that NBA lens, which is kind of what I was talking to Sabrina about. Do they have to be so dependent on NBA ideas? Can they be a little bit more independent and freedom to do other things? And this one-on-one tournament, like, if the WNBA put up a similar amount of money to do like a two-on-two or a one-on-one thing for their weekend, like, I think the majority of the players outside of Caitlin and maybe Asia would still do it. And it's a really cool idea. And the Nafisa and the folks who are kind of in charge of, and Brianna, who are in charge of Unrivaled, they may have a problem with that, but there are things that you can learn from what Unrivaled did that I think was just tremendous.
Yeah. Quite frankly, I still need to watch it. I am going to watch it, but I haven't gotten
it. It's not like it's super entertaining, fantastic, like it's like tough basketball. It's like, oh, get to my spot, boom. Oh, I can't get to my spot. Some ugly shots because they have a 7 second shot clock, so they can't just dribble, they gotta go. And so you see some ugliness in the shooting.
Yeah.
And then you see, like, I was surprised Arike lost, because her game is both
so ISO so.
Yeah, and she can shoot, and she goes to the hole. So I thought she was going to win, but she got upset.
Well, I think what they need to do, what I've seen from the players and what I've seen from all these upsets, is like, put the bigs in their own category. Like, you do separate tournament, you do the big tournament, big/forward, guard/forward tournament, like two different things. Like, that's what I kind of saw the complaints were. Like, Chelsea Gray's losing in the first round. You know, a lot of these point guards losing in the first round because their opponent is a foot taller than them.
When I was a kid, they did Dr. J versus Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They were both already retired on pay-per-view.
Oh, my God.
It was the most boring one-on-one basketball game you could ever think. Because Kareem is 7'2". Dr. J is 6'7". Dr. J is not a great outside shooter. So Kareem was just too big and strong for him. And I felt bad for Dr. J, but it was like, Kareem just going to
back him down, skyhook, boom. But they didn't have a 7-second shot clock from what I remember. And then there was an idea to do a Shaq versus Hakeem one. Do you know the Taco Bell, the double-decker supreme taco, which is like the taco and then a tortilla wrapped around the taco? So in order to promote this taco, they were going to do Shaq and Hakeem one-on-one on pay-per-view. But I think the NBA said that they couldn't do it after all. But that was the only other time that they would have done like a one-on-one thing. So, all right. Let's talk about some Warriors here. And I will end it with our Warriors conversation.
Warriors!
All right, your Jimmy Butler thoughts after four games of seeing Jimmy Butler on the floor with Steph and Draymond and Pods. Do you like what you see?
I told you so. I really do like what I see. I feel like a lot of what I said was correct. Stephen Curry is going to get re-energized and play better because he has some help. And we're still not even like piggybacking off of what Plus Minus said is like, we still haven't seen like the best of Jimmy. He's still trying to get himself reacclimated and back up to game speed. But I think the glaring issue is true now. Now that you've gotten rid of Wiggins, you have no point of attack defense. And I saw the Light Years guys being like, you know, people criticizing the trade, even a couple games in of like, well, Jimmy's not a point of attack defender. So therefore the trade's not as good. And I think it was Andy that was like, no, this is stupid. Like the trade was good. It was that they didn't go after, you know, a different player to get that defensive help. Like that's the problem. The Jimmy trade's not the problem. The Jimmy trade's great. And so, you know, they're putting Moses at the point of attack and he's just laterally not quick enough to stay up to speed with a Dame Lillard, with a Kyrie Irving. And that was so evident in those games. Like it looked pretty rough, and it's not necessarily Moses' fault. That's just not how I've been saying it on this pod for forever that he does better on slower guards than he does on the quicker ones,
which is why he's better as a big in defensively for them.
Yeah. And that is a little unfortunate that he isn't that, but oh well. And you know, he did kind of cook Jalen Green, though. That's a different story. That might be more of a Jalen Green thing.
He can make up some space with his long arm, so he could get some poke-away steals, and he can actually make shots harder because he can just stand up and put his arms up, and he's, you know, his arms are long. But yeah, this is not his game. You know, if I was a Gui Santos...
But he's looked awesome, by the way, except for like in one moment.
I would drop like 10 pounds to see if he could get quicker and be one of those guys who could be out there to help out on the wing.
We're such Gui Santos truthers. You won't hear this on any other podcast. Can Gui Santos take the mantle of what Andrew Wiggins left?
If you're Gui, like you're trying to find opportunity.
Totally.
And if you look at what the Warriors roster is lacking right now, it is one, that defender, and two, they still need more shooting. I don't know if, you know, Gui could probably take 1,000 more shots a day and he's still probably going to be a decent shooter, but not, he's not going to be, yeah, he's not going to be like the best shooter of all time.
Yeah. I've just, even like watching Gui, I'm just like, how are you going to not play this guy once Kuminga gets back? Like he just does so many little things that are so helpful. But I mean, I think from Jimmy, I think it looks good so far. I think he's just doing what we didn't have, which is get to the rim, get free throws. And I think that's, you know, going really well so far. And we'll see as teams start to adjust to try and defend this. Like this 3-1 stretch that like this isn't going to continue. Like it's not going to be 20-3 finish to end the year, right? Like
according to Draymond,
they're going to win the championship. Hey, I think from what we've seen so far, is that I think that, again, I've been saying it all year, the West is open. Like they don't have a Boston Celtics in the West where you're like, that team's for sure going to the finals. Even the Oklahoma City Thunder, what Beck said, I wanted to say it when they were in the podcast, like what is the one thing you could poke at OKC? Experience. It's like it makes sense because a lot of these teams that go to the finals and go to the finals, really, they've had multiple years of playoff experience, whereas this Oklahoma City Thunder team just had the play-in from 2 years ago that they lost and didn't get to the playoffs, and then last year where they won round one and then lost to the Mavericks. What I will say about this OKC team is that it feels like a lot of teams Like have a lot of these playoff teams, like the Timberwolves just beat them going into All-Star break. Like I always hear like the Timberwolves are a good matchup for them. The Warriors do good against them in the regular season. When the Lakers had AD, they would have their number in the regular season. So I'm just wondering, like, are they like, even though we want to crown them as the West team, like, are they like, I'm not entirely sure about them still. So I just think that you have Stephen Curry, Jimmy Butler, and Draymond Green. Just what's in common between those three? They get it done. They know how to get to the finals. Not saying Jimmy's a championship because he's never won one, but he's just a good playoff performer. So I think there's a chance. I'm not going to give them a contender status at the 10th seed, but I think they could sneak in.
Can they get
six or seven?
Do you think
I think there's a chance. You know, it just depends. Like, if haven't the Clippers kind of been on a downward trajectory? Like, I forget if they're seven or six or something, but. Hey, well, you know, those Lakers with LeBron, Luka, and Reeves lost to the Utah Jazz. Like, you never know.
Clippers are currently sixth. Timberwolves are seven. Lakers are five. Rockets are four. So it's funny because the Thunder, there's there's just as much difference between the Thunder and the Grizzlies because the Grizzlies are number two. Grizzlies are eight games back of the Thunder. There's just as much space between those two teams as there is between the Grizzlies and the ninth and 10th teams, which are the Kings and the Warriors. 16 and a half games between the Grizzlies and the Kings Warriors, and eight games between the Grizzlies and the Thunder. So,
yeah, I think all in all, I'm just waiting. Like, there's going to be an adjustment from other teams on how to stop this. But the thing is, they're adjusting to what we haven't even seen the full version of this. Jimmy's not taking those mid-range shots that I know he's like a patented Jimmy shot. Like, he hasn't even started doing that stuff. So they adjust to stop his drives and free throws. Like, okay, he'll still start shooting the mid ranges again. And so I think there is a lot of potential with this squad. We'll see when Kuminga comes back. They obviously have to shape it up on the defensive end at the point of attack, or else, you know, like, I haven't really seen a team go to the finals without like a ball stopper or be successful in the finals without that. So we will have to see. But I really do like what we've seen so far. And I think this is just more of a credit to like just get Steph some help. And I think Jimmy's value was really low. And we judged it off of what we had seen recently, that if this guy does come back to, you know, 90% of what he was, like, we really are talking about a top 25 player. We're talking about a top 20 player. You can even argue a top 15. And in the playoffs, he becomes a top 10 player. So we'll see if that happens. But I am really high on this.
It is amazing what just giving him an extra year did to like his stance, right? Like, going into this thing, he probably wanted a 5-year extension from Miami.
Yeah.
And that's what he was holding out for. And so his holdout, I don't know if his holdout necessarily worked. He didn't get five. He only got two. He got two from the Warriors after all was said and done. Now it's a quality contract. It's
like two for the price of three or something. You know,
it's a high dollar contract, but I'm sure when he went into this thing with the negotiations, he probably wanted a 4 or 5 year deal out of Miami and they were unwilling. And so the Warriors kind of do get the benefit of his negotiation tactic, which some people would think it worked. I'm not sure if it worked the way that he wanted it to. And, you know, he wanted to go to Phoenix. I don't know why he wanted to go to Phoenix, because Phoenix is they have the monetary issues, and, you know, they could not offload Bradley Beal. But just that whole thing, it's like, yeah, if you want to play with KD, great. But what does the future of Phoenix look like the second that KD is done, or the second that KD gets hurt? It's bad. Because they're so strapped. But I like the way that he plays. I'm a little worried about he's so tentative to shoot the three. And we saw this with Iguodala later in Iguodala's career, is that the tentativeness, it makes you tense up as a fan. You're almost feeling for him like, oh no, he's nervous to shoot this shot. Is this more than likely gonna miss? I think teams are going to like take advantage of that unless he does start knocking some down. And because that's the thing that the Warriors don't have, right, is Steph looks way more free on the court, which is fantastic. He looks like he's like this year, he looked like he was an old man. And now he looks like he's like 2 or 3 years younger just by the mere fact of having Jimmy on the court. But when you have Draymond and Jimmy and then possibly Kuminga on the court together, that's a lot of no, 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 yes, rather than getting wide open. I can't wait to drill this three. And so that's interesting to me, which probably means we're going to have to play Quentin Post over Looney in some scenarios. So there's going to be like Steve Kerr has a hard job for these last 28 games to figure out what the right rotations are going to be, because they don't have a lot of time. Like, what did Steph or Draymond called it, like a sprint to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to figure these things out like in real time. And sort of like what you said, like they're going to have a roster scenario where Gui Santos may not be playing in games. And for Kerr, he loves the guy that's going to get the hustle play when they need it to kind of get the funk, get out of a funk. It's like, you need a Gui Santos to make a play. You need a GP to make a play. And he's going to want to play those guys, but they're not going to be the seven best guys to play, right? Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, Gui Santos is going to play. And who does he take out? Moody, of course. He takes out Moody. Like, it's going to be a lot of that. So they have I think Kerr has his work cut out for him to if Kerr has his fastball, they make this thing work and they get to where you're saying, like 6-7 range. But there's a possibility that Kerr can kind of like screw this thing up and they are playing range. And it's not only going to be Kerr, because there could be injuries. Jimmy, you know, could need some rest. Jimmy and Steph are still going to need some rest.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the benefit of Jimmy's holdout is that he doesn't have a lot of tread on his tires for this season. And so now he can kind of, this is his 40 game sprint or whatever for the season. So we'll see. The trade looks tremendous after the first four games. And just I can't point this out enough. Steph looks like a free basketball player when he's on the court with Jimmy. And that's that's your biggest concern, is to free that guy up, because he's your best player. So that just for that, it's a positive.
Yep. I keep hearing people say that like six is too far. Is there 3.5 back? Is that too far with 27 games remaining? I don't know. So I imagine that it's possible.
Your hope is that the Clippers play at a 500 level rather than the 574 that they've been playing in the season. Like, what you need is for those teams to get cold. And outside of the Mavericks and the Kings, which I think the Warriors can leap, the Timberwolves and Clippers, they're going to have to lose ball games in order for the Warriors to catch up. So not only will the Warriors have to play like 650 basketball the rest of the way, the Clippers the Clippers and the Timberwolves are going to have to like start losing games, which they want to win games too, because they see the same thing that the Warriors do, which is stay out of the play-in. And so I think that's the bigger issue than actually the Warriors getting on a run. It's like those teams also have to lose.
Hey, we'll see what the Rockets do too, because they're 3-7 in their last 10. Their Warriors are six games back from them. Of course, they'd have to fall, and maybe they're the team that just completely falls. Last thing I want to mention is two things, actually. The schedule. It doesn't look like the toughest schedule for them. They have Sacramento next Friday, Dallas with the Iguodala game next Sunday, and then you go to Charlotte, you go to Orlando, or no, sorry, Charlotte at home, then you go to Orlando, then you have Philadelphia on ABC, Charlotte, like New York, good, Brooklyn, bad, Detroit, like, Portland, bad, Sacramento, Like, you have some games here that you could, you know, you might have a favorable schedule coming up. And on top of that, you know, the way they're playing with the Jimmy acquisition, like, there really could be something here. And then the last thing I want to say is their top plus minus lineup since the Jimmy trade. So Steph, Butler, Draymond, Buddy, Pajemski is the top plus minus lineup right now at plus 12 in total with 11 minutes played together. Then the following lineup is the new starting lineup they've been trying out with Steph, Jimmy, Draymond, Moses, and Pods. They've played 26 minutes together at a plus 8. So that starting lineup is in the plus. And then Steph, Looney, GP2, Moody, Pajemski at a plus 8, played together for 10 minutes. So those are just the top three since the Jimmy trade.
I am a little worried about Draymond at the five just because of his injuries. Calf and the back and all that stuff. He even said, like, it's just so much harder to guard fives.
I think you start post and you figure out which one of Moses or Pajemski you keep on for the starting lineup. Like that's what I would do long term. And maybe that ends up being Kuminga in the starting lineup. But I've really like what Moses has done.
You'd have to play Jimmy at the two, though. Do you want to play Jimmy at the two?
No, like again, you're gonna have to figure out some stuff. Like Kerr's really got to figure out some lineup combinations because
if you play post, it'd be post Draymond, Jimmy, Pods, and Steph because you want Jimmy
ball handler
and you want Pods, you know, yeah, the two. But if you do play Moses, then Moses plays the three, and I think you want him more in the front court just from what we've seen. So
yeah. I've been really impressed with Moses being someone who has recently, I don't know about recently, but just started to put the ball on the floor and like make something happen. Like I just feel like the Warriors don't have enough of those guys that, you know, will put the ball on the floor, go to the rim and see what happens. And I think Moses has been trying that out lately. And I've been pleased with the results.
And you know why? Because people see him as a shooter now. Mm-hmm. They see him in his ability to hit that three. Him hitting that three opens up the ability for the hard closeouts, and then he's got to make the decision to go hard right immediately instead of sometimes making that decision a little too late and allowing the defense to figure it out. But yeah, once he starts making that more decisively, because his shot is good, and I think the teams look at him as, you know, you do have to guard him out there. So that will help his drives. Yep. Or his stepping into a mid-range or something. So,
yep.
All right. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Death Lineup. Brad and I will be back Tuesday evening on YouTube, but Wednesday morning on the pod feed because spring training is here for baseball. Always a fun time. Everyone is 0-0, and then the regular season starts, and then we get a little sadder. But all right, for Bri, I am Double G. We'll see you when we see you. Peace out.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI. And a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See Home Club for details.